Morning. What a beautiful day. Isn't it amazing what God is doing in each of our lives? And this morning to witness Haley being baptized, to be a part of that, just fills a grandfather's heart to see those children make that decision to follow Jesus. And an anecdote that kind of goes along with that, in 1996, Debbie had moved into this area with her two girls. And they were attending the Leander Church. And Stephanie and Jennifer were both in my youth group for a summer. Long before Debbie and I ever really got to know each other and found love together. And they were both baptized right here at this building in 1996. So Haley is following in the steps of her mom. And that's a great privilege and an honor. I also wanted to say thank you to the church for reaching out. You blessed 25 families in our 10 in our community and 15 of our own with a better Christmas because of your generosity and because your love. And I just want to say thank you. The heart of this church is one of great generosity and great love. And I am so thankful to be a part of this family. It's like Mark said, when a need arises, this church answers that need. We are a flawed church, not a perfect church out there, but we serve a perfect Savior, and He teaches us how we are to live. And the closer this body of Christ here grows to the Savior, the more we see people, and the more our generosity expands. And I'm not sure I know of a more generous church than this one. So I praise God for you. This morning, wanted to look at God with us, a great light. And I started thinking back to my childhood. When I was a child, I had a great fear of darkness. But there was a reason I had a fear of darkness. It was because I had a brother that was 6 years older than me that would torment me in the darkness. I would awake to the sound of fingers on the wall, scratching. He would even get up and go outside our window and scratch on the window. And then my parents planted a rose bush out there, and he didn't even need to go outside because the rose bush would scratch against the window. So I had this great fear. My dad was also a sci-fi horror fan, and we watched a show that was called first it was called Weird, and then Way Out. Every Friday night, that would be on. So I saw all these scary monster movies, Creature of the Black Lagoon, Frankenstein, Dracula, Wolfman. My brother always said, you know, I could fight off Dracula and Frankenstein. I could run from Frankenstein. He's slow. I could fight off Dracula. He said, but man, I'm scared of the Wolfman because he's too fast. So I grew up with this fear. But one day, a great light came into my life, and it's called the night light. When we bought a night light and put it in my room, I could see what my brother was doing. It made it a lot easier for me to rest at night, and that great light gave me great comfort. Kind of that way, growing up with a brother that's 6 years older than you. We have a need for light, don't we? I just want you to think for a moment, if there was no sunshine, people in Alaska have to experience that for a long period, that there's no light. If there was no light in this world, what that would be like? What would it be like to live in darkness all the time? There are a lot of folks that do. It's a spiritual darkness. It's a spiritual blackness that is intense, and people caught in the midst of that darkness and sin need light. We are so fortunate to be children of God, and we have received great light. I want to read from Matthew 1:18 through 23, a reminder of what takes place as Rob has been sharing with us, talking with us about God with us. I want to continue those thoughts. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. I want you to notice that Joseph was faithful to God. He was faithful to the law. But he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. He loved Mary. He didn't want her to be harmed in her reputation. He had it in his mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Greatest gift we've ever been given is God with us, Emmanuel. We see the plan of God's redemption of mankind from the very beginning of the promise given in Genesis chapter 3, when the Lord is speaking to Adam and Eve, and he speaks to the serpent, and he says this to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head, and you're going to strike his heel." Portraying the kind of death that Jesus would face, Jesus was struck, but he was not out. And when Jesus came out of that tomb and was raised from the dead, Satan's head was crushed. When we walk with Christ, Satan cannot have his way with us. When we walk with Christ, people see light and not darkness. Satan wants to destroy, but we have the victory. This morning, Haley gained the victory in Christ because she chose obedience. Not because she had to, but because she loves her Lord and Savior, and she will do anything to honor him and to please him. There's a golden thread running through the tapestry that is the Bible. It is the story of God coming to us to bring hope and salvation for all mankind, for every one of us sitting here and everyone that's out there in the world. God did not abandon us to wander in darkness, but from the very beginning, he planned on bringing a great light into the world, to bring hope and salvation that would be freely given to each one of us. And all we have to do is accept it. All we have to do is acknowledge that God is who he says he is, that he is sovereign, and that he is a holy God, and that he loves us more than we can even imagine. And the question is, do I love him? Do I desire to serve him? In Isaiah 9, is a beautiful prophecy of the love God would extend to man in Emmanuel. It says this, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Has he dawned in your heart and in your mind? Has that great light penetrated the darkness that this world tries to throw at you, that people may try to throw at you? Has the light penetrated your darkness and given you hope like it gave a little boy when he flipped on a switch and there was light in the room to see in the darkness? In verse 6, "For us, to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." I know a lot of you are concerned about the government right now. Let me tell you what, the government of the kingdom of God rests on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. And we have hope, regardless of what happens here. We have hope in a salvation from this place. Yes, we pray for our government, but let me tell you what, the true government rests on his shoulders. "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of His government and peace, there will be no end. I remind you of Paul's words in Philippians where he says, release your anxiety to me, and I will send my spirit to stand guard over your heart and mind. You will have peace that passes understanding, peace without end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And I love this statement, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Reminds me of Job's words, no plan of yours, Lord, will be thwarted. And He's got a plan for you. And He's got a plan for me. And He will use us for kingdom purposes if we will just surrender and love Him. My question for you this morning is this. Has Emmanuel, God with us, made a difference in the way you live? Has it made a difference in the way you interact with this world? Has it made a difference in the way you have a marriage relationship? Has it made a difference in the way you respond to children or grandchildren? Has it made a difference in the way you work in your workplace? When we consider the love of God and what He did in coming to us, does it cause us to pause? Does it cause us to meditate on what it means every single day of our lives? Paul challenges us in Philippians chapter 2, where he calls us to imitate, to be imitators of Christ in His humility. He says this, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, which Mark talked about this morning, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others. I'll say that again. Value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. It's exactly what Jesus did in His coming. He was not looking out for His own interests. He was looking out for ours. And He came to give us that victory. In verse 5, it continues, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as man. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. It is a daily commitment to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Do you acknowledge it when you rise in the morning? Do you acknowledge it when you're at work? Do you acknowledge it when you come home? Do you acknowledge it as you rest your head on your pillow at night? Jesus is Lord. As a result of this kind of nature being in us, Paul continues and says this in verse 12. He says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will, and I want you to hear this closely, to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. We got to get out of self. We can't let the flesh nature take over. We need to let God will and act according to His purpose. What is your purpose? What has God called you to do? How has Emmanuel, God with us, prompted you to live? Verse 14 gives us a great answer. It says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Challenging for us as humans, isn't it? Not to grumble about this or that, or somebody did this or somebody did that, or argue. Why? So that you may become blameless and pure. Listen to this. Children of God without fault. That is what you are in Christ. Children of God without fault. And right now, in a warped and crooked generation. We live in a warped and crooked generation. Look at what he says. Light, important. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. We are shining stars. God has called us to be light in the darkness. And I think about standing out in our neighborhood, and we don't have a lot of street lights, and I look up and the sky is filled with wonder and with these beautiful stars. And that's what God calls us to be amongst all the people of the world, to shine like stars. Just as Jesus, Emmanuel, brought light, we too are to be light in the darkness. And even though we're pounded on every side by darkness, it is evident. The darkness is evident, isn't it? The news blips come across our phones or tablets or computers or televisions. So much darkness. So many times we feel so overwhelmed. Yet in Christ, we realize that darkness is a part of this world. And that though we live in the world, we are not to be of it. Because we have been called out of it. Your life is important. And you make a difference. Right where you are, every single day. You are to shine like stars in this warped and crooked generation. It is your purpose. So I close with this question. Are you shining? Do you know that God is with you? If you are a Christian, the scripture clearly says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, he says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. And he goes on to say, therefore, honor God with your bodies. Are we doing that? If we do, it will be a light in the world in this darkness. If there's ever a time that we need to shine, brothers and sisters, it's now. In this crooked and depraved generation. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. And 7 says, this is how we shine. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light to shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God displayed in the face of Christ. Oh, listen to that. The light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. This is what shines in our hearts. Do you realize it? Have you owned that? We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. I cannot do this without Him. I cannot stand and speak these words without Him. I cannot live a life that shines without Him. And so we must die to self so that we can truly understand what life is. It is through the love and power of God that this great light shines in us. This morning, Haley let the power of that light shine in her obedience to God. Maybe there's someone else here this morning who wants to be a child of God, who wants to shine like stars in this crooked and depraved generation. Maybe you want to be obedient in the waters of baptism. Or maybe there's someone in this audience that's in just need of prayer, needs their brothers and sisters to pray for them and to help them and to encourage them. And we would be honored to do that. Sometimes you just need a private time with maybe with one of our shepherds, and some of our shepherds will be in the back. If you just need someone to pray with you, they are always willing. But I think Mark was right. There's an intimacy that we need to have one another, because sometimes if we just look at someone, we can see they're struggling. Pull them aside, grab them and say, "You look like you're hurting right now. Could we just take a moment and pray?" You don't even have to know what it is. Just pray over one another. We need to be that intimate in our relationships with each other as we are intimate with Christ. He is deeply intimate with us. So whatever your need may be, we ask you to come while we stand and sing.